Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Sister Wives with Mary Jane Kay. Today, I'll be reviewing Sister Wives Season 18, Episode 9, Battle Lines Are Drawn. This episode, Robin, the world's biggest victim, says she and her kids really truly have felt like they got kicked off of the Brown Family Island. Robin says it's absolutely how they felt. However Robin feels really is inconsequential in comparison to how Cody's ex-wives and most of his other kids feel when he is absent, when he neglected them to give so much more to Robin and her kids. All the dramatics. We got kicked off the Brown Family Island. Oh, my mom tells me I'm the Brown Family scapegoat. This woman pities herself. She's selfish. She makes everything about her and her feelings, and she is always the victim. Her emotions come before anyone else's, always, and it seems her kids are walking in her footsteps. The apple never falls far from the tree. We saw lots of tears and dramatics from them as well. Garrison speaks some truth this episode. He says Robin is the catalyst of all of this. She is the catalyst of using the Rona to make Cody, his dad, exclusive. And then she turned herself into the victim and she said it was their fault when they have just been living their own lives and they did protest for the sake of their mom's marriages. But once those marriages were down the drain, the kids decided to do their own thing, and Robin could no longer feel like the victim because she could no longer feel them attacking her because they just gave up. They didn't care about her anymore. Ignoring a person like Robin will drive them crazy. Not caring, cutting them off, will drive them crazy because there are some people who have to be the center of attention no matter what. And they like attention. It doesn't matter if it's negative attention. It doesn't matter if it's positive attention. They thrive in chaos and they love attention of any kind, negative or positive. So for everyone to bail and say, fuck this, we're not going to deal with her anymore and just cut her off, that is going to eat Robin up inside. Cody says his family, all of his other kids, all of his ex-wives, they're all jerks, and he makes it clear he doesn't want to be around them. He's tired of it. He doesn't want to call them. He doesn't want to talk to them. Now, we all know that that's true. Cody never made an effort because he didn't want to. And we know if Cody wanted to see his other kids or communicate with them, that he would. But he here admits it, and he says it clearly. He doesn't want to see them. He doesn't care if it hurts because Cody only thinks about himself. He only thinks about what he wants. For Cody, the feelings of his kids, they're not anything he considers. Garrison is done with Robin. He doesn't care to talk to Robin anymore. Garrison says Robin is mad that she can't have this effect on their lives anymore because they just don't care anymore. And he says he isn't speaking on behalf of his siblings, but this is what he thinks they think. It's them going, you know what, Robin, have him. They don't care anymore. They're all grown adults and they don't need a father figure anymore. Now, Gwen says she would like to say that she doesn't care, but it still hurts. This is going to hurt tremendously for all of Cody's other kids. Cody doesn't care. Cody doesn't feel the weight of this. Cody only cares about getting his supply. And if he can't get his perfect supply from you, he is done with you. You serve no purpose to him, even if you're his kid. Garrison thinks they just don't need their dad anymore. Most of the older kids really seem to understand that Cody picks Robin over them. He prioritizes Robin and her kids over them. He doesn't care how it affects them, the hurt it causes, or any other issues it causes, the damage, the suffering. And I mean, you can only get burned so many times before you learn not to touch the fire. And now Cody's kids have given up on him and they deserve more from their father. This is sad that Cody really isn't capable of giving better to his kids. His kids don't deserve any of this. Cody says that Christine is just feeding the flames in a civil war, and he thinks Christine has some terrible karma coming. Wow, that's rich coming from him. Cody's cruel. He's resentful. He gets off on other people's pain. Just like when he used to twist the knife with Mary and the catfish thing every chance he got. And now Cody is hoping Christine gets the bad karma coming her way. He's so angry. He is so hateful. This is the heart of the Brown family, the nurturer of most of the kids, and the mother of his kids, who all of his kids, mostly his older kids who have issues with him, they really love, adore, and respect Christine. And Cody is being so disrespectful and cruel that he hopes bad karma comes to the mother of his kids, to the woman who sacrificed so much for his family. He hopes bad things come to the mother of his kids. Now, when Cody says things like this, does he consider how any potential bad karma he is projecting on Christine might affect and hurt Truly and his other kids who adore Christine? Now, obviously, since Christine left Cody, her life is amazing. She has no regrets. She's relieved. She recently married a real man who is in full control of his balls. She's happy. And Cody looks more and more constipated. He looks desiccated and dried out. And Robin looks miserable too, frowning like Mr. Potato Head. So the only people with the bad karma coming seem to be the shop lady and her best customer. And they look increasingly miserable every episode. I think Cody's projecting big time. He knows his bad behavior brought him his bad karma, and he knows bad karma is coming for him, and he feels it. So he puts it all on the person at the top of his shit list at the moment. And all that does is show this man's character that he would hope for, that he would consider and delight in Christine's bad karma he thinks is coming her way, because Cody's an evil freak. Cody hatefully says every shit talk, every trash talk, every opinion that the kids or the ex-wives have of him is absolutely reciprocated by him. He's making it clear. He says he thinks the same thing of them. Cody acts like it's recess at the elementary school swing set. In my opinion, all of this hate and animosity is about Cody knowing now that his kids have given up on him. They want nothing to do with him. So now Cody is being immature and petulant, and he is assuming that they hate him. So he is trying to one-up them and say he hates them. Everything is reciprocated to make himself feel better. But really, he looks like a petulant child. Now, Cody perceived his kids and his ex-wives as his enemies on the opposing team a long time ago, and he treated them as such. And they are all incredibly hurt. All they want is love, respect, communication, and understanding from their dad. They want to feel like they matter to Cody as much as the royal kids and Robin. And Cody, in his paranoia, in his sick mind, he perceives that they all hate him, that they're against him, that they're his enemies, because they rightfully don't support his patriarchal agenda, his Rona rules, or his toxic behavior. And they won't feel like second-class citizens, like burdens in their own family. They refuse it. They reject that, and they should. Cody perceives that as hate, and he wants to beat them to the punch and tell them, like the toddler at recess, I know you are, but what am I? Also this episode, Cody says that Christine forced herself into his life, and she insisted that they be married. Cody acts like Christine forced herself on him, like she imposed herself on his family, when he knows he never loved her, he was never attracted to her, and even though she is absolutely gorgeous, Cody admitted that he married Christine for her church status, to gain clout in their church. Cody knew Christine was head over heels in love with him, and he didn't want her, and he married her for status. And in my opinion, he married her because he loved the narcissistic supply she offered him when he didn't give a fuck about her. and she adored him, and he adored the attention that his ego got, in my opinion, and the status he gained from marrying Christine in his church community. Now, Christine didn't force herself on anyone. And if Cody knew he didn't love her, he easily could have told her that he didn't feel it was fair to marry her. Instead, he married her, admittedly for her church status as polygamy royalty, because Cody wanted to look cool in his church, in his community.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, Cody married way up. Cody, in my opinion, is lucky Christine ever even looked at him. Christine did want to get married quickly, and Cody wanted to wait. He had reservations. He knew it was way too soon. He wasn't sure about it, and he could easily have insisted that they wait, or he could have admitted the truth, that he didn't love Christine, that this wasn't fair to her, that he wasn't attracted to her, because he's obviously blind. And instead, he soaked up all the supply of love Christine gave him and all of the status she gave him in their church. He married up. She married much lower than she should have, in my opinion. Now, it takes two to tango. Christine did not put a gun to Cody's head. She did not force him to marry her. I felt that was incredibly insulting of Cody to say. Cody willingly took his church status from Christine and his narcissistic supply when he married her, and he led Christine to believe that he loved her. That's fucked up. Cody's selfish, and he took advantage of Christine, in my opinion, and now he wants to label it as Christine forced her way into his life. No, sir. Cody really underestimates the viewer's intelligence levels when he spews that bullshit, expecting it to fly. The episode opens with Christine making dinner for Janelle and some of the kids over at Garrison's house. Truly isn't over so that the older kids can have space to talk about their frustrations with their dad. Christine moved away 6 months ago, and a lot has happened during that time. She says the kids are sad, and all of this was hard for them. They struggle with it, of course. We learn that Brianna, Robin's daughter, and Savannah are around the same age. They attend the same school. They even share the same teacher. But they don't even speak to each other. If they pass each other in the hallways, they just ignore each other. And Christine thinks it's crazy. Brianna is in a confessional scene with Aurora. Brianna and Aurora are mini-me's of their mom, of course. Brianna is super emotional. She's crying, breaking down, just like her mother with the dramatics and the unhinged emotions. She is so hurt. She wants to talk about her pain. But never mind the hurt all of the other kids in the family feel as she gets all of Cody's attention. She's a child, and none of this is her fault. But we don't see Savannah crying, playing victim, when her dad forgot her on Christmas completely. He didn't even call. We didn't see Savannah crying, breaking down over that. How would Robin feel, and how would Brianna react if that was Brianna in Savannah's shoes and she didn't even get a phone call from her father on Christmas? Brianna explains that she and Savannah, they weren't super close because of the Rona, and they had differing opinions on the rules, so she and Savannah just ignored each other. Brianna says she's really shocked. She's confused. Yeah, Robin is confused all the time too. Now, if this is how emotional Brianna gets just about her relationship with Savannah, how does she think Savannah feels about her dad? And we still don't see Savannah crying, being dramatic, being emotional, playing victim, wanting sympathy. Brianna says Savannah doesn't care, and it broke her heart a little because she grew up with Savannah and with all of them. And here, she just breaks down in tears as Aurora comforts her, rubbing her back to calm her down like she's a baby. Janelle confirms that Savannah and Brianna have no relationship. They just ignore each other. And Savannah has always had a very hard time with the siblings that are her age in the family. She says the relationships change as she gets older, but she has always not been as close with Robin's kids. She is a lot closer with Christine's kids. Of course, because all of the kids grew up together in the family and they all shared the three moms and they all lived in the one house in Lehi. And that really solidified all the connections throughout the years with Janelle and Christine and their kids. Recently, Savannah saw her dad and Truly, and Christine is so sensitive. She's so in tune with the kids. So she asked Savannah if it was okay that Truly was there when she was seeing her dad. And I really found that to be very thoughtful considering that the older kids, other than Robin's kids, really get such limited time with Cody. We can all recall, of course, how during Christine's very limited time with her girls and Cody, Cody was babysitting Robin's kids, and he brought them along to infringe on Christine's kids' rare quality time with their dad. Christine knows how all of this feels, so of course she checks with Savannah. Cody only saw Truly over the holidays, and before that, Cody hadn't spent time with Truly at all since she and Truly moved to Utah over 6 months ago. Savannah says her dad's absence doesn't bother her. It's been so long that her dad has been absent that she just doesn't notice that he isn't around. Christine says you really notice how broken things are when you hear it from a kid. That's so true. Kids normally tell it like it is. Cody is so absent. He is absent so much that has become normal to Savannah. His absence has become normal. Now, if this was one of Robin's kids and Cody was absent, would Robin tolerate that? Would Robin still be giving up her best customer service? I don't think so. As long as Cody is giving Robin and her kids the attention she wants him to be giving them, she doesn't give a fuck how he treats anyone else or how it makes anyone else in the family feel. She only cares about getting what she wants for herself and her kids. Mary is renovating her carriage house at the inn, and Jen's husband does a lot of projects for Mary. Mary explains that this having a man around doing projects for her, that's new to her because it's been a very, very long time since Cody has done projects for her. Mary says she lives an independent life, but she still considers herself married to Cody. She says they have their spiritual commitment, and to Mary, that's still valid, even though for a long time now, she and Cody have lived very separate lives. Sean, Jen's husband, and Jen, Mary's best friend, really don't care that Mary is in a polygamist family. And Mary says, it's nice not to be judged for living a weird lifestyle. It's nice to be looked at as being just a person. Mary says Sean and Jen aren't like that, and Mary feels like her relationship with Jen, it's so easy, and you're drawn to relationships when they're easy, so Mary is drawn to that relationship with Jen. Mary explains that she has had an easy relationship and close bonds with various different people in her family over the years. She says she's had easy relationships in the past with Christine and with Robin and with Cody. But with Janelle, it hasn't been that close bond. There hasn't been a lot of laughter, but they get along. Now, Mary had those relationships in the past with her family, and she wishes she still had those relationships now, but she doesn't. Mary says, you can't ever ask a polygamous man, am I the best wife? Although she says some polygamous men, like Kotex, for example, would just tell you. Now, Mary says when you have a wife, that doesn't work to have a best wife. Christine doesn't think it's okay to have a favorite wife. And Janelle says you can't have a favorite. The polygamous husband, he has to grow beyond his normal selfish capacity. And he has to be able to love all of these women in their own way and give them adequate time and connection. Janelle says most men fail, obviously. Like Cody, of course. He's certainly not capable. Cody says, in plural marriage, if a man has a favorite wife, it has to do with loyalty. that he feels her loyalty, that she is loyal to him. If you don't feel loyalty, Cody says, then a wife, she's Teflon and you'll struggle with her. And of course we know Cody refers to Janelle as the Teflon queen. If Cody questions Janelle's loyalty, he's obviously missing brain cells because this woman was the primary breadwinner supporting his whole family for decades. Janelle has shown her loyalty with her actions. What in actions has Robin done that really shows her loyalty other than feign obedience, feign respect, and blow smoke up Cody's ass when she knows she doesn't really respect Cody and she's the neck that turns the head? She manipulates the fuck out of Cody and she has his balls in a sling and she knows that. What's interesting is Cody claims that it's about loyalty, but Robin really isn't actually loyal to Cody. She walks on eggshells, she coddles Cody, she treats him as the hero, she obeys, she makes him think he wears the pants, and it's all a manipulation. She doesn't actually respect and love Cody. She just appeases him. She coddles his ego to keep him in check and to manage him as she gets financial security. She gets a home off the back of her sister wives. She gets a nanny. Everything she needs is provided for. For Robin, it's a small price to pay, but she fed the monster so much so that now the best customer service that worked before only goes so far. Robin doesn't actually give Cody loyalty. She doesn't actually respect him. She lies to him. She manages him. She manipulates him. She blows smoke up his ass. It's not actually love and respect, or she wouldn't lie to Cody and manipulate him the way she does. She wouldn't cook ego feasts, enabling Cody and his toxicity and his bad behavior. Robin just tells Cody what he wants to hear most of the time. And that's not loyalty. Loyalty is wanting the best for a person and being honest with them, even when they're wrong, even when they don't like what you have to say. You're truthful because you care. You don't just blow hot air. If Cody truly wanted loyalty, he had three wives who were incredibly loyal to him and his plural family for decades, who loved this asshole enough to tell the truth, to refuse to coddle him, to refuse to enable toxicity the way Robin does. Cody had loyalty. He doesn't want loyalty. He wants a narcissistic supply, in my opinion. He wants ego feasts, lies, deceptions, and to be fed the bullshit that he is. The hero, the white knight on his trusty steed that he erroneously thinks he is in his sick, warped, delusional mind. Cody wants to be lied to. He wants to be managed. He wants to be coddled. He doesn't want reality. He doesn't want loyalty. He wants lies. He wants deception. He wants to be manipulated. He doesn't care. He wants to feel like the hero, whether it jives with reality or not. His ego needs to eat. It's hungry. It's starving. It's not about loyalty. It's about artifice. It's about Robin's ability to act, to play Cody's damsel in distress and to feed into his hero narrative. Cody is really going to feel like a fool of the highest order. He really likes to be important. He likes to be number one. And he will certainly feel like the number one biggest fool in the world when he realizes the wives who actually had his back, the loyal ones, the ones who cared enough to be honest, those rare gems he threw away to hold up the cubic zirconia, he is gonna really regret it and he will feel like a fool. Tonight, during this dinner at Garrison's house, Cody has truly. He's babysitting, although it's not babysitting when it's your kid, and truly is gonna be spending the night. Dean reveals that Cody really doesn't ask Christine to see Truly when she comes into town. So Christine asked Cody to babysit, and that's how Truly ended up spending the night there. Now, Truly thinks that she and Cody have a great relationship, and Christine says when she lived in Flagstaff, she thought the best way to preserve Cody's relationship with Truly was to move her away to Utah. She knew she was moving Truly away from her dad, and that maybe it sounds weird, but she felt the best way to preserve Truly and Cody's relationship was to move Truly away to freeze the relationship in time. And she took their relationship when it was still good and she moved it. And when they come back into town, they move the relationship back and it's preserved as it was. Cody's laughing and he says for Christine to think that she is preserving his relationship with Truly by moving her away, it's ridiculous. Cody feels Christine saying that by taking Truly away, it was preserving her relationship with him. He says that's a bullshit rationalization. Cody thinks it's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. Cody was inattentive and he was absent. And as Cody's kids get older, when they're not convenient, when he isn't their hero, Cody cuts them off. He distances himself. So Christine knows Cody was inattentive. Truly's getting older. He was absent. When Christine and Truly were local to Cody in Flagstaff, Cody was absent. So instead of Truly growing up and resenting Cody and them butting heads or Cody pulling away, becoming increasingly absent as he does with all of his older kids, but Robbins as they get older and have criticisms for him, Christine is moving Truly when their relationship is still good and Truly will see her dad sporadically when Christine visits Flagstaff. So then Truly probably won't feel as much like Cody is absent in her life because she isn't local. And when she sees her dad, the relationship should still be good during those limited interactions. The distance almost keeps the relationship good because of Cody's behavior pattern and how absent he is, especially with his older kids. And it saves Truly from really seeing that and feeling that neglect and feeling it the way all of the older kids do. Christine, in my opinion, makes total sense. Cody doesn't have the amount of self-awareness that it would take to even begin to understand that. Because of the distance, Christine really is saving Truly all of that suffering she will feel from his absence as she gets older. Next, Janelle asks Gabe and Garrison if they have seen Cody. They haven't seen their dad. They haven't heard from him. Gabe remembers his dad saying that he only cares about his minor children. Janelle can see that Cody has a lot of trouble relating to his older children when he dotes on the younger children. And Janelle says when her children were younger, it was easy for Cody to be a father because he was still important to them, this hero, his opinion mattered to the kids, his guidance mattered to them. And now, because the kids question him, it's hard for Cody to feel respected. Basically, Cody can't take any criticism or inconvenience. And the second you aren't a perfect narcissistic supply for this man, he will cut you off and discard you. You're of no purpose to him, even if you're his child. Robin says that before the hard feelings from the Rona, Cody's relationship with most of the older kids, it was good. And then Christine left and shit hit the fan. Since Garrison last talked to his dad, he bought a house, he got into school, and Garrison bought the car that he wanted, the car that Cody said he shouldn't get. This guy is awesome. He's very impressive. And most parents would be beaming with pride that their kid had the work ethic, ambition, intelligence, maturity, and drive to accomplish all of that at his age. Cody doesn't know about any of it. Any of those accomplishments. Garrison says Cody doesn't care to know anything. I don't believe Cody is telling the truth here, but Cody claims that he reached out to Gabe and Garrison before Christmas and after, and they are blocking him, according to Cody. They aren't interested in talking to him. Gee, I wonder why. I can't understand why. Why? It's interesting. I mean, Cody knows when Aurora, a 20-something-year-old, pierces her ears, he escorts her to the piercing place and he grants her permission like it's Handmaid's Tale or Saudi Arabia or something. And he doesn't even know big things like when his son buys his first home or buys the car he always wanted or when he gets into college. And I'm sure it really fucks the other kids up to know their dad pays so much attention to these other kids at Robin's house. He invests in them, and he can't be bothered to even call his other kids like Savannah on Christmas. He spent the whole day wanting to only focus on Robin and her kids, ignoring everyone else in the family. And that's cruel. That's unfair. The kids don't deserve it. Gwen, Christine, Janelle, Gabe, Garrison, and Savannah, they're all talking. And Christine wants to know what happened between the kids and their dad and the kids and Robin. And Gwen explains that they were discussing the sibling Secret Santa gift exchange, and Robin wanted to do the gift exchange over Zoom because Ariella forgot her siblings. She doesn't even know her brothers and sisters anymore. This has been a 20-year tradition to draw names and buy a gift for the sibling's name they drew. And so Aspen started this text thread. And of course, Robin wants to feel relevant, so she interfered. And she insisted she wanted to do this gift exchange over Zoom, so it's a video chat. But the kids didn't like the idea. They just felt it wasn't personal enough to do the gift exchange through Zoom. People in the group text, they all threw out ideas. Gwen wanted to make it a competition. And of course, Robin made it all about herself. And she wanted to manipulate the kids, saying Ari doesn't even know who her siblings are. She wanted to guilt trip them. She wanted to gaslight. Robin is incredibly selfish. She decided to take this opportunity to mention how there is a bunch of past trauma. And Gwen wonders where the trauma is coming from, because she points out that her dad prefers Robin and Robin's kids. Robin's bullshit trauma does not take precedence. It pales in comparison to the trauma that stems from Cody preferring Robin and her kids, neglecting everyone else in the family. That's the trauma. And that trauma is bigger, and it matters much more than Robin and her inconsequential trauma. Everyone at Garrison's agrees that Cody prefers Robin and her kids. Robin says from her perspective, Cody didn't choose her. Cody didn't choose her kids. She says she and her kids, they wanted to be a part of this family. They wanted to be accepted. They wanted to be loved by everyone. Robin, the victim, says that when they were blending families years ago, there was a lot of trouble. And Robin didn't feel like she had a lot of support from the other parents to do this blending. There were a lot of hard things that happened. And then those things went away after about a decade of it. But then when the Rona hit, all of a sudden, Robin says she and her kids were excluded again. And all of a sudden, they weren't a part of the group. They weren't a part of the larger family. They were rejected. I am so sick of hearing about this bullshit, this victim narrative. Gwen continues explaining what happened with the kids and Robin. She goes on saying that Robin was texting the older kids in this text chain, and she was using this discussion on the family sibling gift exchange to complain about trauma, the trauma her and her kids experienced. And she was texting about how they don't respect her as a mother. Gwen says it was all of this weird stuff. And Gwen says she has always considered Robin's kids her siblings. She has always considered Robin a mom. So this is weird. It's not weird. This is Robin being selfish, demanding deference, demanding to feel like the most important matriarch in the family. She demands deference. She demands special treatment. She feels she deserves it, and like she expects it as if it's a given, that everyone should love her, that everyone should just see her as this beautiful, nurturing matriarch that is just great. Angel, cap in hand. But that's not the reality. The problem is, Robin is delusional. She pictures a fantasy, ideal family in her mind. And if that doesn't happen for her, where she's this beautiful matriarch that everyone just adores and loves, she lies, she manipulates, she gaslights, she demands, she tries to manage and control like single white female crazy person type. And then when it doesn't happen and no one wants to touch her with a 10-foot pole and everyone wants to avoid her and stay away from her, then she plays the victim. She wants to talk about her trauma. When does she talk about the trauma inflicted on Cody's other kids because he favors Robin and her kids and gives them all of his time and attention while he's neglecting them? When does she talk about that trauma? I'm sorry, but her trauma doesn't count in a situation where all of his other kids are being hurt. There isn't trauma. She's manufacturing a narrative to be a victim because she wants to wallow in her own self-pity. It's bullshit. In my opinion, Robin only cares about herself and getting what she wants for herself and her kids. And she doesn't care if her getting what she wants for herself and her kids means neglecting other people or hurt for other people. She doesn't give a fuck. She's getting what she wants. Then she wants to use the situation to play victim. She's a master manipulator. And the kids have her number. They aren't going to let her use them for her bullshit victim narrative. Also, this thing about Robin demanding respect as the kid's mother, she has to understand. It's a blended family. All of the older kids were raised in a family with three moms, Mary, Janelle, and Christine. They were all raised together. And Robin came into the picture a decade or more later. She didn't have that history and that bond and that raising of the kids together with everyone. Her kids aren't going to feel as close with everyone in the family. She is not going to feel like a genuine mother to everyone in the family. That is just the reality of a blended situation. She needs to accept reality. And if you want respect, you have to behave in ways that garner respect. Robin doesn't behave in ways that make people want to respect her or make her worthy of respect. She disrespects all of the kids in the family and all of the moms in the family. She's constantly gaslighting, lying, manipulating, enabling her husband, lying for him, playing the victim. She throws people under the bus to support her victim narrative. She invalidates the wives and what they experience being married to Cody any chance she gets. She even called Christine a liar in her own home. She called Isabel stupid for wanting to go to in-person class. She isn't respectful, but she demands, I want respect as a mother. But she did nothing to build and foster those connections and relationships with the older kids. And that's on her. She can't demand respect. Demanding respect, by the way, is a surefire way to get the opposite, especially when you give little to no respect to the person you're demanding it from. Aurora says, before the text chain, they learned that there were some strong negative feelings towards them coming from some of the siblings, and they also learned that the siblings were planning on having Christmas without them, without ever telling them. And it was very frustrating for Brianna. She felt very hurt. She felt very confused. So not only is Robin playing the victim during confessional scenes, wallowing in self-pity for the world, vilifying everyone else in the family to say that they reject her, that they bully her, that they're mean. She also tries to manipulate, gaslight, and guilt the kids into doing what she wants and responding how she wants or behaving how she pictures in her mind. Robin will do anything she can to manipulate the situation so that everyone in the family behaves how she pictures in her mind how they would behave in the warped dreamland of her ideal perception of what the family should be. What a weirdo this woman is. She is scary. Honestly, I would want nothing to do with her. Would she want one of the other moms guilting and manipulating the fuck out of her kids? I doubt she would be cool with it. Robin really is a selfish human, very much so. And she really tries to prey on the kids' emotions by suggesting Ari forgot them to try and make the other kids feel bad, to try and guilt them into doing what she wants, the Zoom call. She only sees herself. And the audacity of this goblin to mention her trauma, her kids' trauma, how she is hurt, how she is affected by this fantasy narrative she has in her mind that she is the victim, as if she can hold up her pity and her alleged pain and her victimhood and her pain and her kids' pain is supposedly more important. Her pain, Her emotional suffering is bigger and it matters more than the amount of pain inflicted on the older kids in the family caused by the favoritism their dad gives her and her kids. This woman is tone deaf. She's insensitive. She has no empathy or compassion for anyone else. And her pain matters. Her sadness, her devastation, that the way she imagines the family in her delusional dream world isn't what is in reality. That trumps all of the pain caused by Cody's absence with all of his other kids and ex-wives and Cody's lack of investment and effort with all of them so that he can give everything to Robin and her kids. And she wants to talk about her trauma. I would be telling her to shut the fuck up. I'm sure Cody's other kids wonder, why don't I matter to dad? Am I unlovable? And I'm sure for some of them, it really hurts. It could potentially fuck with their self-worth. And I'm sure they wonder perhaps why Cody can seem to love Robin's kids, but not them. The disparity is obvious. Look at just Christmas as an example. Robin and her kids got all day with Cody. Most of the older kids, Janelle and Christine, were local. They were at the rental and Cody couldn't call any of his kids. He couldn't bother to visit. He couldn't bother to even text. He couldn't even drop off gifts for any of his other family members on Christmas. But he sure as hell spent the day with Robin. He sure as hell bought every one of their kids mini bikes and helmets and a bunch of other stuff. He sure as hell took his kids with Robin riding on their mini bikes out on Coyote Pass. And he took Aurora to pierce her ears. But he couldn't do obvious, important, mandatory things like attending Isabel's surgery. He forgot Gabe's birthday. And if Cody treated any one of Robin's kids that way, if he neglected them, if he skipped a major surgery, if he forgot one of Robin's kids' birthdays, would that fly at Robin's house? I don't think so. So Robin wants to talk about her trauma, but she has not one leg to stand on, and it just shows the extent of her selfishness and delusion. It shows just how bad Robin's character is, that she wants to bring up her trauma, that she thinks that's appropriate during the sibling group text chain about the Christmas gift exchange. And she wants to bring up her trauma and wear it like a badge to show us, to show the other kids, to show the ex-wives, as if her trauma is more important, as if it matters more when it really doesn't matter at all. The other kids and wives in the family probably have a whole Walmart full of their trauma. They can cry about, they can whine about it, they can play victim about it, and it would all be justified. But they don't play that game. They don't do that. They're mature. They are resilient human beings. They're well-wired enough mentally to process this and move forward. As Robin and her kids look as though they are always about to implode or fall to pieces, they are all very emotionally unhinged. Everyone has trauma in life. So maybe Robin should ask the other kids in the family about the trauma her favoritism that she gets for herself and her kids caused them, about how their dad's neglect felt when he was able to be fully present 24/7 for her. Maybe Robin should consider how Cody's neglect towards his other wives and kids made it possible for her and her kids to get so much from him in a polygamous situation. Maybe Robin should focus on that. She claims to be the family counselor, the empath. She's all about the family. And Cody is quoted as saying, Robin knows how to make relationships work. She's good at relationships. If Robin lacks so much self-awareness and she has so little maturity and emotional intelligence as to mention her trauma to the people she contributed in hurting and traumatizing, we can clearly see her selfishness and it's off the charts, just like her husband's. I always said that this is about Robin wanting to be the main matriarch, the revered nurturer of the family. She wants to be Christine, the heart of the Brown family, and it will never, ever be because Robin can't hold a candle to Christine. She doesn't have the same heart. She doesn't have the same mind. She obviously doesn't have the same moral standards or consciousness. Robin has the expectation. She expects, she demands more deference, more respect as the mother of these other kids she doesn't give a fuck about. And she says the kids don't respect her as a mother. She doesn't want to be a real mother. In my opinion, she just wants to be able to have control over the kids. She wants influence over them. She wants to feel important to them. She wants to be able to manage and influence the kids. Mary Janelle and Christine raised the kids together for almost 2 decades. And then Robin came along. So naturally, Robin won't have the same deeply rooted relationships with all of the older kids. And she won't necessarily be a mom figure that they go to. She can't force it. She can't demand it and manipulate it into happening with her bullshit and her gaslighting. These kids are very intelligent. They're very self-aware. They're very emotionally mature. They're probably more mature than Cody and Robin. They aren't pushovers. Robin won't be able to manipulate and gaslight her way into getting their deference or respect as a mother. If you want a deep relationship with someone, you have to work at it. Robin didn't put in the work when she should have, and now she wants to try and force a square peg into a round hole, and it's not happening. Not only is Robin inconsequential to the kids, now they really don't like her. They resent her, and they know Robin, and they know her toxic tactics. They know Robin is all about manipulation and gaslighting and guilt tripping. She wants deference and the ultimate respect. She wants to feel important, and she contributes to the cause for a lot of the kids' hurt and pain. And she knows the other kids' absent father is able to be fully present and committed with her and her kids as he neglects them. Yet she's sitting here demanding a mother relationship, that she's respected, that she gets deference. And Robin isn't putting the kids first. She isn't putting their trauma first. She isn't putting their emotions first. It's all about Robin. It's about her trauma. It's about her kids' trauma. It's about demanding respect and the lack of respect she feels she gets. Me, me, me. Robin, Robin, Robin. Oh, the Brown family scapegoat. If Robin really wanted respect, she would earn it by taking accountability, and she would stop with the victim narrative bullshit, and she would prioritize the kids and their emotions and their trauma, the other kids, and she would validate them instead of trying to make her trauma and her kids' trauma the biggest and the only trauma that matters in the room. I also want to discuss Aurora and Brianna's trauma and their complaints. Those two seem very fragile emotionally. They also seem very immature. Considering their father's neglect, the other Brown kids in their father's absence could very easily be crying and playing the victim and whining and complaining. And we rarely see them make a big deal. They don't ever wallow in self-pity. They don't sensationalize. They don't catastrophize like the sky is falling. Yet Aurora and Brianna act like their hurt is bigger, more important than the hurt their siblings feel. Maybe they need to consider how their siblings feel and that pain. Robin's kids really shouldn't be taking it as a personal rejection that the whole family can't get together for holidays, especially considering the separations and the rules that are imposed and the situation with Cody. It's not a personal rejection to them, yet they play victim and they cry about it as if someone died in the family because their mom teaches them through her behavior that the sky is always falling and that it's a personal slight, that it's negative, when really everyone has separate lives. And frankly, Cody, their dad, and the other kids and the ex-wives, they don't all get along. So naturally, everyone doesn't want to be together. These kids, Robin's kids, they really assume that the world revolves around them and that everything is about them. They play victim too. It's all about how everything affects them. And the other kids who have lots of genuine trauma, mostly because Cody prefers them to his other kids. Those other kids, they rarely show emotion. They never play victim. When they show emotion, it's warranted. It's never catastrophizing. It's never acting like the sky is falling. They handle it well. They're wired appropriately. Other kids have every right to show emotions, and they rarely do, and they never play victim. And when they do show emotions, because it's genuine. Because it's not that the sky is falling. It hits home and it resonates. And a lot of us can really relate to those genuine emotions that the other kids experience. Really, really resonates. Robin's kids seem to emulate her and her behavior patterns. I think Robin's kids take this personally because of the way Robin frames it to them. She lets them know, this is personal. We've been rejected. We are the victims. We are the outsiders. That's not really the case. I think if Robin was logical and she presented this as, well, the ex-wives and the kids, they all want to spend Christmas together separately. Janelle and Christine want to see their older kids, something like that. The kids wouldn't think it was about them and take this so personally as a rejection. But I believe Robin manipulates the fuck out of her kids and she presents it as a personal rejection to her kids specifically. Now, Robin's kids got Cody all day long on Christmas. None of the other kids even got a phone call or a text from Cody. Yet they are the ones bitching and moaning the loudest, complaining about being victims. And if this is how Robin's kids act now and how they process stuff, you know, what happens when they grow up and live in the real world? Now, I understand Robin and her kids had a lot of trauma from her ex-husband, supposedly, and they had traumatic childhoods and a divorce and this and that. Listen, we all have baggage. We all have heaps and heaps of trauma, probably even worse than Robin and her kids did. But we mostly all know how to control our emotions and live in the real world. So I wonder how Robin's kids are going to grow up and live in the real world and how they're going to adjust to it. I wonder if they're even able to do that. How would Aurora and Brianna respond if Cody failed to call them on Christmas? If he failed to see them or even get them a present? How would they react? How would they feel? I think they would still be crying now, a year later. I mean, I really didn't see Savannah shed one tear, even though we all know that this hurt her very much. Savannah didn't pity herself and play the victim and act like the sky was falling. But Robin's kids think it's okay to do that because they learned that from their mom. It's going to be really hard for them to cope with real life in the real world. Next, Christine asks Gwen if she thinks that things will change in the family, but Gwen sees it getting progressively worse. Robin told everyone in the text chain that because of the lack of respect, they just weren't going to participate in Christmas with them. And Robin says, all of a sudden, she got this kickback, this attitude from the older kids in the family. So Robin wondered why she was even trying and she felt defeated. Well, whenever Robin interferes, things tend to blow up in her face. It probably would have been better if she just allowed the siblings to handle it and she didn't stick her nose in it. But she decided to stick her nose in it when people didn't like her idea and they didn't want to do it her way. She then proceeded to claim that she was disrespected. She proceeded to cry and lie and manipulate and gaslight and try to guilt trip the kids. And that kind of fuckery isn't going to work on these kids. They're mature. They're independent. They're resilient. They know how to control their emotions. They're self-aware. They have way more emotional intelligence than she'll ever have. Maybe Robin should take this defeat as a lesson and understand that she is really not making her case by being selfish and bringing up her trauma and interfering with things that are not her place just because she wants to demand respect and importance in the family. If people don't feel that way about her, she can't manipulate her way into it. Next, the victim whines some more. Robin says that she and her kids really truly have felt like they got voted off the Brown family island. That's absolutely how they felt. Robin told everyone that she wasn't talking to them anymore, but she didn't tell them directly. She triangulated McKelty and Logan in to tell all of them that she wasn't talking to them anymore. My response would be, good riddance, let's celebrate. Of course, Robin is always the victim. Her kids are always the victims, and their pain supersedes anyone else's in the world, including the other kids in the family. When Robin says with a straight face that they were voted off the Brown family island, does she realize how stupid she sounds? Also, look at the manipulative games and the triangulation. Robin knows McKelty likes peace. She tries to stay neutral. She tries to stay good with everyone in the family. Yet Robin triangulated McKelty in to telling the kids that she would no longer talk to them. She triangulated Logan in too. She went to the other kids that she is good with to involve them in her mess. She started by interfering in this text chain when it wasn't her place to interfere, and probably everything would have went smoothly if she didn't interfere. This was between the siblings. It wasn't the right time and place to play victim or bring up her issues, to demand respect or talk about her trauma. But of course, Robin thinks she is more important and she matters more than anyone else. When does Robin bring up the other kid's trauma in the text chain? You would think if she's all about the family, that would take precedence over her trauma. Where is her concern to the kids about how Cody neglects them to invest in her and her kids and how that affects them? But she doesn't talk about that. Instead, she takes this opportunity when it's not the right time or place to mention her trauma, to gaslight, to guilt trip, to manipulate. And when she really steps in it, she then is so immature that she uses the peacekeepers, the neutral kids, enlisting them to parrot the message that she is done talking to any of the other kids just because they aren't deferential enough, because they don't empathize with her bullshit trauma when she knows she has zero fucks to give about their trauma. Robin is selfish. She is so immature. And I really feel like it's junior high.
Oh, Sarah, tell Jen I'm just not talking to her anymore.
Why did Robin have to announce her departure? I think Robin thought that if she announced her decision to no longer communicate with all of the other kids, and she did it by triangulating through McKelty and Logan, that Logan and McKelty would maybe get the other kids to play into her narrative or to convince them to maybe cower to her. And I think Robin really wanted the attention. She expected to be chased. She expected that the kids would run after her and grovel at her feet. When the kids really don't like her and they really don't give a fuck about her. And the more she interferes and the more she demands and the more she tries to manipulate and gaslight and guilt trip the other kids, the more she plays victim, the more Robin obtusely boasts about her trauma, knowing her trauma pales in comparison to the trauma of the other kids and ex-wives, the less people will want to do with her. And she will never be influential in the family. She will never matter. And the more annoying she is, the more she tries to interfere and use her toxic tactics and crocodile tears, the less people will like and respect her. People have to like you to want to respect you, to allow you any degree of influence in their lives. Nothing Robin does in her words or her actions helps her cause. Her behavior, her personality, her way of speaking is a natural repellent. She's a walking red flag. Even Cody's other kids know to stay away. Now, Garrison explains that a few days after the text chain confrontation, they got a text from McKelty letting them know that Robin and her kids weren't participating in the gift exchange, and Garrison says it hurt. I can't help but wonder, if Robin just didn't interfere and she let the kids handle it and she just went along with whatever the group decided, if things would have gone smoothly and they would have had a nice family memory. Christine explains that it's a true division, and she says if you can look back and figure out where the lines were drawn, a definite line was drawn that day. Now the blockades are up, the barriers are up, and no one wants to talk to Robin. She made things worse with her own behavior. Like Cody, Robin really is her own worst enemy. And like Cody, she lacks the self-awareness to see it. Christine doesn't know what happens after this or if they will even get together next year. Garrison says Robin turned it into them trying to ostracize her, and she played the victim, and they said no. This is about them trying to figure out how to do the gift exchange while adjusting to her Christmas rules so that they can actually do the gift exchange. And Garrison says they've been doing the gift exchange for 20 years. Cody says Robin never made the Christmas Rona rules. He says that's not her job. That's his job. He made those rules. He proudly announces it was him. That's right. See, Cody thinks he wears the pants. Cody wants it known. It's not Robin. I wear the pants. Cody's living in a dream world. We all know Robin's the neck that turns the head. Cody wants it known. He makes the rules and she follows. Garrison says Robin took that and she did her process that made her the victim. And Garrison says they told her they weren't trying to disrespect her. And Gabe says Robin was gaslighting everyone to treat her with special treatment. Garrison agrees that Robin was gaslighting. And Gwen says, literally, the past 8 years, Robin made herself the victim because she was the last wife. And Gwen tells her mom that she was the last wife for a time, and she never made herself the victim. Garrison says, Robin is the catalyst of all of this. She is the catalyst of using COVID to make Cody, his dad, exclusive. And then she turned herself into the victim and she said it was their fault when they've just been living their own lives and they protested for a time for the sake of their mom's marriages. But once the marriages were down the drain, the kids decided to do their own thing and then Robin could no longer feel like the victim because she could no longer feel them attacking her because they just gave up, they wanted nothing to do with her, and they didn't care about her anymore. So now Robin can't use the other kids to perpetuate her victim narrative. Gwen explains that their dad also chose to spend Christmas with Robin instead of with the rest of the family, and he could have. Cody says they're all jerks and he doesn't want to be around them. He's tired of it. He doesn't want to call them. He doesn't want to talk to them. Cody is hateful. He really resents all of his other kids. He knows admitting that he doesn't want to see his other kids while he spends all of his time with Robin's kids will deeply hurt and scar his other children. And he doesn't care. He just wants to be hateful to them because they aren't giving him his supply, so they don't matter to him. It's really cruel. It's really unfair. And Cody's kids deserve so much more. And his ex-wives deserve so much more in the father of their kids as well. Garrison confirms he is done with Robin. He doesn't care to talk to Robin anymore. He isn't going to do this. He's going to do his own thing. Garrison says that Robin is mad that she can't have this effect on their lives anymore because they just don't care anymore. And he says he isn't speaking on behalf of his siblings, but this is what he thinks they think. It's them going, you know what, Robin? Have him. Take him. Because we don't care anymore. We're all grown adults that don't need a father figure anymore. Gwen admits that she would like to say that she doesn't care, but it still hurts. It's always gonna hurt. And that sucks because really all of Cody's kids, older kids, younger kids, they all deserve the same treatment and they all deserve more than what Cody is even capable of giving. Garrison thinks they just don't need their dad anymore. Christine says every kid needs a dad always. Even now, Christine says she still needs her dad. She really thinks every kid needs a dad, and she is heartbroken by this. Every kid does need a dad, but when they're not capable of giving you what you deserve, when they hurt you on repeat, when a parent prioritizes himself and what's convenient for him and getting his narcissistic supply over his kids or his ex-wives, and that parent neglects you and hurts you over and over and over while he invests elsewhere over and over. When a dad ignores you as a punishment because his relationship with your mom is in a bad place and he thinks it's okay to not even call on Christmas or not attend major surgeries or to ignore or to control, when he neglects you and your mom while he gives all of his investment and his full presence to another mom and her kids, it is very hard to maintain love and respect or to want to be around a person who hurts you deeply, repeatedly, when there really is no trust and no connection there, and when that person, that parent, really doesn't value and respect you. The kids really don't need that hurt and suffering in their lives. I think Garrison is right, and Robin really is the catalyst. and she gaslights to try and get deference. She used COVID and fear of the Rona and rules that are more stringent than the CDC guidelines. And she and Cody knew not everybody could follow those rules. And they used those rules they wanted to impose on everyone, controlling their lives, knowing that it was impossible for everyone to comply with, as what they considered to be a justifiable excuse to live monogamously. During a pandemic, when the whole world was on its toes, feeling very anxious, feeling very insecure, very unsafe, when Cody's other kids really needed him the most, Cody and Robin used this worldwide pandemic as an excuse to create hoops to jump through that they knew not everyone could meet. And then they used those rules they created as a justifiable, what they thought was a justifiable reason, an excuse for them to live monogamously and for them to blame everyone else for why Cody wasn't present. Cody neglected his wives. He neglected his kids. He was absent and he didn't want to be there. And he used these hoops that his other wives and kids could not jump through, these Rona rules that he knew were impossible, as a way to blame his kids for why he was absent in their lives, as a way to blame his wives for why he was absent in their homes, not living up to his end of the deal. When Cody knew he didn't want to be there, he used this as a way to stay away that he thought was justifiable. He knew that it hurt his kids. He knew it hurt his ex-wives. He knew it destroyed his family. And he did it anyway because what Cody wants comes first. What Robin wants comes first. And they wanted to live monogamously. This was very cruel. Cody and Robin used the pandemic and these rules as a way to live monogamously at a time when his kids really needed him the most. Then Robin became the victim, complaining that everyone in the family blames her, that they don't accept her, that she is rejected, that her kids are rejected by everyone else in the family. When in reality, Robin and Cody rejected everyone else in the family first. They created impossible hoops. No one else in the family rejected them. They're the ones that created the impossible hoops. They blamed everyone else for not jumping through those hoops. And then they are the victims. They are the rejected ones. This is what Cody wanted, and he said it tonight. He doesn't want to see his other kids. He said it seasons ago when he said, "My family, my wives and kids are the obstacles to my goals in life." And he used the Rona and creating those impossible rules as a way to rid himself of the obstacles to his goals in life. And now he has the goal, living monogamously with Robin. And he and Robin play the victim, acting like they were rejected by everyone in the family when really they rejected everyone in the family. And then they use this as an excuse, everyone's failure to comply with their demands, with their control, as a way to blame them, the others in the family, for why they cannot be present, why Cody cannot be present in their lives. It's cruel and manipulative and toxic as fuck. Cody and Robin used the pandemic to remove his obstacles. And then he blamed his kids and he blamed his ex-wives for not bending the knee, knowing they couldn't. And Robin plays the victim, claiming they reject her. But who turned their back first? Who abandoned whom first? The rejection Robin perceives in her warped mind towards herself and her kids, that pales in comparison to the rejection Cody's kids feel by their dad, the man they thought they once knew, as they watch him play father of the year, husband of the year, with Robin and her kids as he neglects them. As a viewer, I'm really tired of hearing Robin and her kids play victim and whine and complain. I am tired of hearing about how this affects them. I really think maybe they should just shut their mouths and listen with their ears, and maybe then they will think less of themselves and more about the suffering of others around them. Garrison says they protested the rules. They protested the favoritism. They stood up for their moms, Christine and Janelle. But then when the marriages fell through, they stopped and they had nothing more to say. And Robin got Cody all to herself, And they won't give Robin the fodder she needs to play victim anymore. It's interesting. Now, Robin has Cody all to herself, for herself and her kids 24/7 now. Cody is now free from the obstacles to his goals in life, just living his dream. But Robin is no longer the favorite wife. Robin now gets to be the only wife, and there is nowhere else for Cody to go when Robin gets inconvenient. Robin also gets Cody 24/7, a sixth child she has to constantly appease and manage all the time. And Cody will now only have Robin to direct his resentment and anger at. And when his perfect supply gets tainted, the only difference with this wife is, with Robin, she is the legal wife. So when she leaves, she doesn't need to worry about legal protection or financial security, and she knows that. So Cody really dug a hole for himself, and now he really has to just lay in it. And he has alienated everyone but Robin and her kids, and maybe McKelty at this point. He's burned every bridge. Cody wanted to be free from his obstacles to achieve his goals in life, but really, what has Cody achieved after alienating his whole family? After alienating the real loyal ex-wives and the real loyal kids in the family, Cody really has achieved nothing but destruction, and he's miserable, and so is Robin. The older kids ignoring Robin, not caring, that really means that Robin can no longer use them to pity herself or to formulate her victim narrative anymore, and they know that eats Robin up. Thanks to the moms, Cody's other kids really turned out to be so intelligent and so wise, and they know what they're doing when they're dealing with people like Robin. Christine says that she isn't apologizing for Cody's behavior. She just wishes the kids could have had it easier, that they could have had it better, but she's really sorry for them. Gwen wonders who needs a dad when they have two moms, and she says love is love. Christine points out that she and Janelle are still sister wives. They're always going to be sister wives. And Christine says she may not be able to give her kids a dad, but she can give them Janelle. Listen, Janelle is a much better support system. She's a much better human being than Cody. She's smart. She's strong. She's independent. She's financially savvy. She's college educated. She's hardworking. She's ambitious. And she shows up when she says she will, and she's actually loyal. Janelle is emotionally intelligent, she's self-aware. Cody isn't any of those things. Janelle has much more to offer to the kids in the family than Cody ever did. Cody, let's remember, he couldn't even attempt to crack open that real estate book. He says he was getting his real estate license in weeks, and then he saw the book and he didn't even try. Cody doesn't work hard. He hates being inconvenienced. He's lazy. He doesn't show up when it counts, not even when it's practically mandatory for things like his daughter's major surgery. Janelle shows up. And when Janelle doesn't show up, her kids show up. Do you guys remember during Isabel's recovery that Hunter, Janelle's son, he drove for hours. He took time off of school and work. He drove to be there with Christine and Isabel during Isabel's recovery to be supportive from that side of the family. Cody didn't even bother to show up. It's really a blessing that Christine and Janelle and the kids all have each other in the family with or without Cody. Janelle feels like when they merged families, when her family and Robin's family blended, they maybe skipped some important steps. Christine says they missed some stuff. They really didn't merge very well. They tried though. Christine says she has been accused of bullying and she doesn't remember bullying anybody. Christine says Cody accused her of bullying her sister wives. And she says that's code for Cody accusing her of bullying Robin. Now, to that, Cody says in confessional that he never accused Christine of bullying. He says she was a crap sister wife and she was shit-talking Janelle and Mary all the time. He wants it known. Cody said Christine was a bad sister wife more than once. Cody said Christine was bullying Robin more than once. And now he's mentioning Janelle and Mary because he doesn't want to make it look like he was just saying Christine was bullying Robin. He said it more than once, but now he is saying he didn't say that. And now he's changing it to Christine shit-talking Janelle and Mary. And that's why she was a bad sister wife. Now he wants to try and rewrite history and reframe things. What he said before, he wants to change. He wants to make this about Christine being a bad sister wife to Janelle and Mary, even though the only sister wife Cody ever really mentioned anyone being bad to ever was the precious cap in hand Angel Robin. We learned recently that Cody even accused Janelle of being a bad sister wife to Robin. He did the same with Christine. And with Christine, we recall, he even tried to leverage intimacy in their marriage so that Christine would be friendlier to Robin. Cody now wants to try and vilify Christine. It won't work. I mean, I'm sure Janelle, Christine, and Mary have all had negative things to say about each other throughout the years, or things that they told Cody about their sister wives, or things they may have told their other sister wives about some of their other sister wives. And that's normal. It's natural. And that doesn't make Christine a bad sister wife. This isn't really about Janelle or Mary or Christine being a good or bad sister wife amongst each other. This is about Robin, and Cody is now making this about Janelle and Mary and not about Robin, to just completely avoid the topic of favoritism. When recently Janelle pointed out to Christine that Cody requested that she had to be friendlier to Robin for things to work out, and it was a prerequisite for her marriage to work that Janelle didn't want to fulfill. We learned that Garrison was calling his dad up until Thanksgiving. He would ask his dad about advice, things that he needed. Gwen really misses Aurora, Garrison misses Dayton, and Garrison really wants to fix his relationships with his siblings at Robin's house. Garrison says he'll try, but he doesn't give a fuck if Robin is there. See, no one wants to talk to Robin in person. No one wants to talk to Robin at all. Garrison says the truths were revealed and they all thought, cool, we're done after that. Garrison says he wouldn't do a face-to-face conversation with Robin and her kids. He says it wouldn't be good. He doesn't have the emotional maturity to do a face-to-face with Robin. Gwen says Robin would probably manipulate them or start crying if they tried to have a conversation with her. Ding, ding, ding. The older kids are very smart and they are very self-aware and emotionally mature. And they see Robin's usual toxic tactics. They see her ways of manipulating, of guilt tripping, and of crying and gaslighting and playing the victim and twisting shit. And they aren't down to be insulted by her fuckery. And Robin knows that the older kids have her number down. And that's why she despises them, because she knows she will never be able to ever influence or manage them. And she will never be important or get the deference her ego craves from them. Now, Robin says she realized nothing she would ever say or do at this point the kids are ever going to see with the right intention, that she means it. The love she will have for them, even the hurt, they won't see it. And she asks, why would I be hurt? Why would I be hurt if I don't care? She says they are never going to see her as anything other than the bad guy. Oh, poor thing. This is Robin playing victim, pissed that the other kids don't perceive her as she wishes they would. She's a victim. Poor thing. Robin wants to suggest that the kids have a bias against her. Like, she is such an angel. She's perfect, but she just can't win with these people. These people just don't see it. There are like over 10 people in this family who see Robin and her mode of behaving and her ways, and they all feel the same way about her. All of these people can't possibly be bullying her and vilifying her and just refusing to see the good in her. They all feel this way for a reason, because of her behavior and her actions and her words. And maybe she should consider, if this many people have a problem with her, that it's her, not them, and that she isn't the victim. That would be the logical approach here, but Robin doesn't really like to do logic. Robin is being very disingenuous here. She wants to try and convince us, asking, why would I hurt? Why would I hurt if I didn't care? I care.
You see my suffering? You see how much I care? See my crocodile tears? But listen, if it were genuine, she wouldn't be so dramatic. She wouldn't be so the sky is falling. She wouldn't be catastrophizing. And she also wouldn't have to try and convince us. We would see it. We would feel it. We would hear it. Robin is hurt because she is pissed that she can't control Cody's kids and she can't make them see her the way she wants to be seen. And she knows they all know her tactics, they have her number, and she can't use her manipulation, her usual tactics, and her playbook and her best customer service on them. So she will now just cut them off because she can't ever get her way with them because they see her and she doesn't like that. And there really shouldn't need to be convincing statements pleading, I'm not the bad guy. Do you guys see? If I didn't care, I wouldn't hurt. Do you guys see my hurt? She wouldn't have to do any of that bullshit convincing and dramatics. Everything would just show naturally without all of the convincing and the dog and pony show that she puts on. Shouldn't need to be convincing statements and pleading and I'm not the bad guy. Do you see my hurt? I wouldn't hurt if I don't care. It should show from the words and from the actions. And the more Robin tries to convince, the worse she looks really and the faker she looks. She's bogus as fuck. She likes that word bogus. She's a prime example. Shame on Robin for trying to blame the other kids for making her look like the bad guy. When the actions she does, it shows how she is and that she contributes to the problem, that she enables the monster, and she knows it. She is the bad guy. She is the neck that turns the head, and she can't stand to be disliked. She can't stand not to matter to people. She can't stand to not have influence or control over them. She can't stand to be called out. And now the kids are her enemy because they have her number, and she probably fears if enough of them say something, Cody might actually listen, and then he might see the creature under the mask he sleeps next to at night. Christine explains that this was a hard conversation tonight, and Garrison has done a lot of digging. He's been very, very vulnerable. It's not easy. And Cody says this is a divorce, and in most senses, a divorce is a civil war. Not necessarily. Cody makes it that way with his paranoia and his negative mindset and his emotional dysfunction. It doesn't have to be a war. The other people in his family don't have to be his enemies. Cody is the one who imposes that on everyone. Christine doesn't see her divorce as a civil war. He is the only one who sees it this way. He projects that onto everyone. Everyone is an enemy. It's us versus them to Cody all the time. And Cody always comes first. Cody says that Christine is just feeding the flames in a civil war, and he thinks Christine has some terrible karma coming. Cody's feeding the flames with his behavior, and this really shows how vengeful and resentful Cody is, how cruel he is, and how threatened he is by Christine, the heart of his family, the nucleus of his family. Even though she left him, she is still the center of Cody's family. After all Christine sacrificed for the family as the mother of his kids, as a nurturer of the family, whether she divorced him or not, Cody is saying that he hopes bad things happen to her, that karma comes. And Cody's projecting, and I think he knows deep down just how toxic he and his wife are, and he knows what kind of karma is coming for them. So he's now projecting that onto Christine. You know, look how miserable and how washed up Cody and Robin look episode after episode, season after season. And then look at how vibrant and happy Christine and even Janelle look being away and separating from that evil. I think karma is already hitting Cody. We see him unraveling, becoming emotionally unhinged season after season, increasingly before our eyes. Cody, you know, he gave up precious gems for a dirty old pebble. He gave up actual true loyalty for artifice, and he hasn't learned yet what seems to be isn't always what actually is. And what he perceives isn't necessarily the reality of the situation. When it finally hits him like a ton of bricks, Cody's karma will come. Cody wonders why his older kids don't like him. When he says,
He thinks the heart of the family, the nurturer, Christine, the person, all of the kids, and all of the other ex-wives really love, respect, and adore and admire. The family nurturer, the heart of the family, he hopes has terrible karma coming to her. That's a huge part of the problem. Cody wants bad to come to Christine, the person in the family everyone but Robin and her kids really adore and love and respect. Cody would get off if Christine suffered in life, if terrible karma came her way. I really think this guy is one sick fuck, seriously. Cody really looks miserable. He's devoid of joy. He's resentful. He's angry. He's bitter. And Christine, after leaving Cody, she has a beautiful life. She had a beautiful wedding to a real man. Cody loses everything good in his life. Christine, as she left Cody, she gets more and more good in her life, more and more sunlight. How is that for karma? How is that for the universe working itself out? Gwen rhetorically asks, imagine your father loving you. Like, for example, how Cody loves Aurora. Savannah adds that she thinks Cody loves Gwen, but he's just angry at her for no reason. Christine has told Gwen for years and years that her dad loves her, but Christine says it's not her job to convey Cody's love to Gwen. That's his job. Amen. Now, Cody hatefully says every shit talk, every trash talk, every opinion that the kids, that the ex-wives have, it's absolutely reciprocated. He thinks the same of them. He is advising everyone. They are all on his shit list. This guy acts like a toddler. He is very immature. It's embarrassing. Garrison wishes that Robin and her kids would understand that they all forgive them. And if they want to ever come back and participate in the gift exchange, they're always welcome. The arms are always open. But if not, they really aren't going to chase them. See, Robin expects to be chased. She wants to be chased. And none of Cody's kids are going to grovel. They all have backbones and they were raised that way. Christine explains that going back to Flagstaff, it's not just about visiting Gwen and Janelle and Janelle's kids. That's the best thing about going back to Flagstaff, but it also means coming back to this and talking about the hardest times of her life. It's hard for her because Christine has to go back to the past and she has to discuss everything that was difficult. And that's what Flagstaff is to her. But Christine hopes Janelle and the kids feel a burden lifted when she talks to them, but she doesn't know. This is hard for Christine, going back to a place that reminds her of bad memories and past trauma, and then having to relive it every time as she sees Janelle and Janelle's kids go through what she went through with Cody and her kids. It's not easy for Christine to always relive this and reopen the wounds, but she does it to support Janelle and her kids. That's how loyal Christine is to them. That's how loyal Christine is to the family still. That's how much she loves Janelle and her kids. Cody says, amidst all the family struggles, he loves that McKelty is still warm to he and Robin and her kids. Next, Christine, her friends, and Janelle all go out for her ex anniversary. And she is introducing Janelle to her Flagstaff friends because Janelle needs friends. We learn that Christine celebrates her divorce day and her old ex anniversary. Christine met her friends in Flagstaff through Isabel because all of the parents got together to throw their kids a graduation party. Christine says, when you leave and you are divorced, you have this new identity now, and it's different than who you were when you were married, and it's different than who you were even when you were single before you were married. So you are different. So then it's important to find like-minded people. During the dinner with Janelle and her friends, Cody calls Christine, and Janelle wonders why Cody is even calling her today. Christine has no idea why Cody is calling. She's not picking up the phone. Cody explains that he called her just to see if Truly was available. Christine explains that she told Cody last year that she wanted nothing from him for this anniversary. She told him not to call her on her birthday, not to call her on their anniversary. He wondered if they should post a picture of themselves, but Christine didn't want to do it. That's how out of touch Cody was with the situation. It's all about optics for him. Christine says it's really hard to leave a marriage. It's hard to know when you're done, and it's hard to show your kids that you're done. It's hard to show the world that you're done. It is hard to leave a marriage, but she tells us it sure feels good on the other side. Christine is a fan of divorce, and she says if people are thinking about it, she says, just go for it, do it. She says, if you're thinking about a divorce, you're already miserable. Stop pretending to be miserable. Stop pretending to be happy. Christine says it might be terrible advice. She's no shrink, but she knows how it feels on the other side. And she says it's awesome. She has no regrets. Christine is telling stories about her marriage to Cody to her friends. And one of the friends asks Janelle if it bothers her to hear Christine talk about Cody like that. But Janelle doesn't care that Christine is telling these stories. Janelle says she doesn't feel a lot of obligation or loyalty to Cody right now. And she tells Christine's friends that she watched them fight for it and sometimes it just doesn't work anymore. Janelle tells Christine's friends that she and Cody have their midlife struggles, but they're fine. She really isn't down to have a full conversation on her marriage with these people she just met. And she explains that she and Christine are now working on figuring out a home base. They are the core fun group and the kids are spreading out all over the country and she and Christine want a home base together and they joke that they really need a plague space where they can live together but have separate lives like they had back in Lehigh in a multi-family home. And Janelle says the kids can go back and forth just like in Lehigh. Christine's friends got her an awesome birthday gift. They got her a mug that says, smash the patriarchy. I love it. Christine never thought Cody was into that, into the control, into the patriarchy, until recently. After Cody said if everybody was willing to conform to patriarchy, that he is going to be the head of his household, then Christine realized what Cody wanted, that he wanted to have a patriarchy, but it was never anything he wanted before. Christine explains that Cody doesn't really rotate anymore. He doesn't spend any time at Mary's house. He's always at Robin's house. She explains that Mary still wants to stay. And Janelle says, plural marriage works well sometimes if you really don't want to be married, if you don't care about that, but you can still be connected to the larger family. Christine explains that Mary is very close with Robin and her kids, and that Robin and Cody mainly live together now almost monogamously. And it wasn't always like that. She explains that for many years, Cody rotated. It wasn't always so predominantly where he was staying at Robin's house. But Flagstaff has been different. And with the move to Flagstaff, Cody has basically been at Robin's house. Christine never had a group of girlfriends like this who weren't involved in polygamy. When she used to live polygamy when they were more secretive in their community, she never had girlfriends who weren't polygamists. And she never had a group of ladies like this. Janelle says that it was really important for them to go public as a family. And they've been public for 10 years. And until last year, to purport to be married was a secondary felony. And now it's decriminalized. Christine explains that you can have an affair all you want, but if you dare say you were with a guy who wants to call you a wife, who wants to support you financially, that was a secondary felony and now it's decriminalized. Polygamy isn't something I would ever choose for myself, not ever. But I do believe all consenting adults should have the right to live however they want to live. They should be able to structure their family any way they want to. And it's not for the government to impose how they should live on people, provided it only involves consenting adults, in my opinion. But I just want to clarify, even though it's decriminalized now, before when the Browns were being investigated, the policy before this decriminalization, regardless of the law, was not to charge for purporting to be married unless other crimes were being committed at the same time as well. And the Browns knew this. They knew what the policy was and they knew other crimes weren't being committed. And after the Browns were investigated and they knew well what the policy was and they determined that no other crimes were being committed, they were not charged with anything for living as polygamists. Now, Janelle says with Christine leaving, people blame polygamy for it. But Janelle doesn't think it's polygamy. She says it's human nature, and this happens in tons of marriages, monogamous marriages or otherwise. She says it's relationship 101, and sometimes people change. Now, I think the problem is Cody and how he was living polygamy as the husband. The problem wasn't necessarily polygamy itself, although I will say I believe that that's a very difficult lifestyle to live functionally, and it's very complicated. It's not something I would ever choose. In this case, with Cody and his family, I don't think polygamy is the problem. I think Cody is the problem. Now, Christine's friend asks Christine what her tipping point was. And Christine says Cody hasn't been the greatest dad to her kids. Christine doesn't know how she feels about plural marriage now. She says if people want to live it, fine. But to be honest, she doesn't see it as a great family structure and she has a hard time with it. And she thinks once a guy finds the love of his life, the other women are screwed. See, Cody was able to balance Mary, Janelle, and Christine, and he was able to invest in them fairly equally and give equal time and investment with all of his wives and kids. Once he met Robin and she manipulated him and she catered to him and she prioritized him, he naturally wanted to go where it was easy. He naturally wanted to feel like the hero and get his supply. And at that point, Cody decided, fuck my obligations, fuck what I signed up for, fuck how I'm supposed to live as a polygamist husband doing things fairly and equally. I'm gonna do what I wanna do. I wanna do what's convenient for me. And he said, fuck everyone else. He started prioritizing Robin and her kids. The other three wives still prioritize a larger family, and Cody prioritized himself and Robin and her kids because he was getting his supply from there. And that's bullshit because this family stopped working when Cody stopped acting in the role of a polygamist husband doing things fairly and equally. And that's on Cody. That's not on polygamy. Next, Cody says Christine forced herself into his life. She insisted that they be married. Cody says he doesn't care that she is leaving. He says it hurt initially, but he's fine. He just wants her to stop trash talking him to his kids. That's super insulting to his kids. His kids can think and reason and rationalize themselves. He thinks his kids are these weaklings with no mind that Christine just influences and controls. That's bullshit. He really underestimates the intelligence of his kids and their ability to think for themselves. And he also overestimates Christine's influence and he underestimates her character and her integrity as well. The whole thing is insulting when he says shit like this. Christine says she and Cody had a conversation and he said he wasn't attracted to her anymore and they weren't going to have a physical marriage. So she told him a couple months later that he wasn't allowed in her bed anymore. He wasn't allowed in her bedroom. And she says that was one of the best days of her life. Christine explains that she's still jaded. It's her ex anniversary and she's frustrated. She's doing her best and she's having a good day. But she knows it's still a failure. And she really wishes Cody would have sat them all down and said, look, I found the love of my life. I found Robin. And she and I are soulmates and we want to live together for the rest of our life. So let's figure out how to make the other three of you work in this scenario. Doing it the painless way, doing it that way, that would be too much inconvenience for Cody. Cody is a coward. He has no balls. He took the coward's way out. He wanted to do this in the most painful way possible. He hurt his kids. He hurt his ex-wives when he could have been honest. He could have had a conversation and he could have done this with respect, love, and dignity to his kids and to the mothers of his kids. And instead he was manipulative, he was toxic, he was neglectful, and he was emotionally abusive to intentionally push them out. And that's fucking disgusting. Cody's too big a coward to have sat everyone down and done the right thing, even though it would have hurt a hell of a lot less for everyone. Christine explains to her friends that there are sister wives she will always be close to, like Janelle and her kids. Her kids and Janelle's kids, they'll always be tight. She will always be tight with Janelle's kids. But her relationship as a sister wife with Mary or Robin, it really isn't going to change. It's really not going to get any better, like any family. She says she and Janelle will always be sister wives. They're always going to get along. And Janelle says it's easier now that Christine left. Christine says when they were deciding to go public as a family, it was to show the outside world that plural families were not all about control. They weren't all about suppression. They wanted to show the world that they had an awesome family, that they loved their kids, they loved their family. They loved raising this big, huge, happy family. Now, through the years, she is showing us all divorce. Her family is broken now, and they are all being so vulnerable. But Christine says it's okay because it's real. I'm sure Christine is a great inspiration to many women, not only in a polygamous situation who want to get out, but also as far as just having any marriage, a monogamous marriage, any type of relationship that breaks up where you are treated like a second-class citizen and you finally decide you deserve more and this person you're with can't give you, is not capable of giving you what you deserve, is not capable of meeting your wants and needs. And you finally decide to leave, that there is a fairy tale ending, that there is hope that you can leave and you can find better. I mean, Christine's whole life is a testament to that. Look at how she found the love of her life and she married him and he's a real man and she is happy and she feels loved and this guy sees her for who she is. She matters. She is the most important thing in this guy's world, or I'm sure she wouldn't have married him. And she gets to be seen. She gets her voice heard. She gets to be treated like she matters by her husband. She gets the fairy tale ending she deserved. That is an inspiration to a lot of women who are even just in bad, unhappy relationships. Her example and her developing her life and moving forward and finding her happiness and her strength and her progress, all of that is an example to other women who are struggling in their situations in life. So I think it's amazing. Christine really deserves every happiness in life, and she really is an inspiration to so many women out there who have seen her story and who have seen her walk her path in life, who have seen the hopelessness, who have also seen where she ended up now. That's really amazing. That does it for this episode. I'll be back next week with the next episode of Sister Wives, Season 18, Episode 10, Don't Put All Your Eggs in One Basket. Thanks for listening. Bye.